Welcome back, everyone, to the Marketing Cloudcast. It's a podcast by Salesforce where we bring on digital marketers, thought leaders, authors, and industry experts to come talk to us about trends and tactics, ultimately helping us all be better marketers. I'm here with my co-host, Tina Razul. How's it going?
Megan, it is so great to have you back. How was your adventure trip around the U.S.?
Tina, you know, it was just lovely. 2 weeks without my work laptop, minimal Wi-Fi. I think I went 4 days without a shower at one point. I mean, it was glorious.
It sounds like a dream, Megan. That's awesome. While you're on your own adventure, we have made it halfway through our own How to Speak ABM series adventure. And over the last few weeks, we've heard from incredible speakers and different viewpoints on how to build the best ABM strategies that we've shared with you all. And for those that may be tuning in for the first time, we're going to do a quick recap of what we've talked about so far. So in this series, we focused on account-based marketing, also known as ABM, and we've basically dove in behind the scenes of what it takes to create a really great ABM strategy. We've talked about data, we've talked about how to build the different teams, and last week we had Daniel Egelbritston and Neha Shah, who helped us demystify account anthropology, which really is all about determining the right accounts and who to target.
Weren't they great? I mean, they know so much when it comes to figuring out what account should I target. Really, really important piece of the puzzle.
Absolutely. And hopefully all our listeners out there found it helpful as well. And in this next episode, we're going to continue to build on that momentum and dig a little deeper and talk to a marketer who's going to share an insider view of the different strategies she's implemented with her team.
Yeah. So our guest on the show today is Sandra Marchand. She's a director of marketing at Advanced Technology Services, also known as ATS. She leads a dynamic team of marketing professionals responsible for implementing transformational marketing strategies and technologies, all aimed at accelerating business growth. Sounds pretty awesome there. So I had the pleasure of chatting with Sandra just before I went on PTO, and she told me about her team and how they launched their account-based marketing strategy about 18 months ago. So since then, they've seen a tremendous success, which is pretty awesome to hear.
Nice. It sounds like it was a really good interview. Now, for those of us that aren't familiar with ATS, what is it exactly?
Yeah, so Advanced Technology Services, ATS, is a global solutions provider with over 3 decades of experience in technology-centered industrial maintenance and asset management services. So ATS provides solutions to manufacturers across various different industries. They're across US, Mexico, and even the UK. So without further ado, here's my interview with Sandra Marchand.
So at ATS, we have various functions and disciplines within our area of marketing today that support our overall mission of driving revenue and bringing in net new logos for our business. However, you know, a main function and a very successful contributor to revenue within our department is account-based marketing. And we launched account-based marketing, I'd say, let's see, it's been 18 months. And we have had tremendous success with the program so far. And just to kind of give you a little history about where we've come from, for many years, we operated and relied more on, you know, a traditional wide net approach to marketing, where we would target any and all markets and companies. And you know, at the time, it didn't necessarily matter, you know, whether or not they were a good fit for our business per se, but it was all about their, you know, level of intent to buy. So at the end of the day, our main metric at the time was focused more on quantity than it was on quality. And ABM changed all of that. You know, ABM has opened our eyes to the possibility of marketing and sales departments calling our shot in what companies to do business with. It's allowed us to be far more technology driven, more sophisticated and efficient in our approach to marketing. You know, ABM has just really been a game changer for our department and for our business.
Yeah, yeah. And I know you touched on this a little bit, but we'd love to learn, how quick was it to get started? What did that look like on your journey?
Yeah, so implementing account-based marketing within our business Well, it didn't happen overnight.
Oh, man, it didn't happen overnight.
Certainly it did not. And, you know, it came with its challenges and it came with its successes. You know, as I look back 12 months ago, I mean, we have grown our ABM program exponentially. So we've seen a 68% year-over-year increase in number of ABM companies that are converting into MQLs, or, you know, marketing qualified leads. And those ABM opportunities have spurred a 202% year-over-year increase in MQL pipeline. The most exciting part, Megan, is that, you know, our story is just beginning. And, you know, I'm particularly proud of the level of confidence that our business now has to making ABM a further success.
First, congratulations. Sounds like it's been a fun 12 months here that you've been kind of bringing this in. Do you mind if I dig in just one level deeper there too? Any kind of stories or advice would you give to someone who is just starting to bring this into their organization? Like, what would step one be?
Well, that's a really good question, Megan. And from my perspective, really, there are three main steps to implementing ABM. And it all starts with knowing your growth objectives as a business and determining early on, you know, what ROI is needed from your ABM program to justify the cost and to justify the use of resources. And I know many marketers talk about ROI differently. Some define it in an increase in impressions or a lift in overall customer engagement, a lift in website traffic, which are all very good data points. But for us, you know, our ROI is purely defined in pipeline and in revenue. And we do, you know, of course, track impressions and website traffic. Absolutely, yes. But those are more, you know, early indicators of success to come. And then I would say, you know, the second step in our journey was to have a very deep and fundamental understanding of our markets and our customers. When it came to potential markets for us to target, the options were endless. So we developed an evaluation tactic where we determined 10 very specific elements of criteria to evaluate our markets during that selection process. And so for us, you know, each market, we looked at different things like market size, profitability, growth outlook, you know, what are some market risks and threats that we needed to consider? And then we evaluated this data side by side and determined, really, we cut it down to 4 key vertical markets. And even at that point, the total addressable market was far too large. So we didn't stop there. We took those 4 broad markets and then determined more niche sub-markets beneath them. And, you know, I would say that out of all of our pivot moves when we're implementing ABM, that made a big difference in our journey. And I think it really ranks high in importance. And I'm glad we did that when we did and as early as we did. Then, of course, when it came to identifying customers within those markets, we used that same evaluation tactic where we chose 10 very specific elements to evaluate our target customers. And, you know, at that point, Megan, we had, let's call it our marketing approved markets and customers. And, you know, as marketers, we know, you know, ABM doesn't exist with just marketing's involvement and approval. And at this point, sales, marketing, and operations were involved in the overall process and is a real winning combination at the time. And I would say, Megan, you know, the third step, we took a very multi-channel approach to execution. You know, we identified our top 5 channels where we can go direct to a particular company and a particular person at that company. And we use channels like, you know, our traditional LinkedIn advertising, Google, email campaigning, virtual events. We actually considered our sales organization as a key delivery channel. And sales, you know, quickly became our boots on the ground and allowed us to scale quicker.
I wanted to take some time to dive into the team that put this together. You've praised this amazing team. Mm-hmm. Like, if you could get more tactical of who's working on what, anything of that nature would be helpful.
Absolutely. So there is one person in particular that really is the lead of the program. However, you know, as I mentioned, our multi-channel approach involves the entire team, right? I mean, everyone has to be aligned to targeting the right markets and the right companies. So it's a combination of, you know, our team lead for account-based marketing, our demand generation team, our field marketing team. Everyone has to be rowing in the same direction. It's really a team effort.
All right. So like underneath your team, everyone kind of plays their part, all kind of moving in the same motion with the tactics in mind of ABM strategies. Am I hearing that right?
Yeah.
Okay. I see. That makes a lot of sense. So you talked about a little bit of teasing, a little success metrics when you kick things off here. Do you want to tell us more about the success that you've had with this new tactic?
You know, this year alone, we have launched over 6 comprehensive campaigns. And I would say the most successful was back in January during the onset of the pandemic. From a sales and marketing perspective, we knew that the majority of customers would be experiencing, you know, a significant downturn in their business because of the pandemic, which, you know, we needed to be prepared for that. You know, customers in the aerospace market and automotive manufacturing. But the silver lining for us was that we can do a lot of good and help a lot of companies that were actually experiencing a spike in product demand due to the pandemic, like many of our customers, you know, in the food manufacturing space and the sanitation market, for example.
Toilet paper.
Yes, toilet paper, exactly. So what we did, you know, out of all of our target markets, we honed in on 3 key submarkets, which represented roughly 150 strategic accounts, and we doubled down on them from a digital marketing perspective and a content personalization perspective, and also a sales outbound activity perspective. And it was truly full ABM horsepower. And as a result, you know, 83% of these companies that we targeted engaged with us in some way, whether that be on our website, through our advertising or our sales opportunities. And, you know, outside of just business results, I mean, this was, like I said, a real feel good for the team that we can do some good here, we can make an impact and find the silver lining. So I would say this campaign in particular was the most successful and the most meaningful out of all of them, because we were doing some good for our community. And the pandemic, while terrible, it has exponentially accelerated our success with our ABM program because of our focus.
And I love how you went all hands on deck, kind of pivoted quickly after the initial shock, as you mentioned. So as you've started to pivot and shift everything over and go headfirst into ABM, I'm sure there was some anxiety of like, how quickly could I expect ROI? I want to prove to the business that this is a great tactic. Could you share kind of that average deal percentage that maybe people can expect when they're investing a lot of time, a lot of headcount, and maybe budget dollars towards an ABM program?
Yes, for us, you know, year to date, of the MQLs or the marketing qualified leads that have been delivered to sales, we have seen a 25% win rate with ABM companies compared to our overall MQL win rate of 20%, which is exactly what we'd want to see and what we would expect to see with an ABM program. You know, more quality opportunities with the right companies should, you know, essentially result in higher win rates. But I would say, I mean, a piece of advice would be, you know, be patient, but also be persistent. You know, don't give up on the program. It really involves consistency and persistence.
And when you were building those different, I think you said 3 different groups, each with around 150 different accounts. Curious, was there any kind of test and learn or trial and error that you had to lock down those 3 different categories or target areas?
I think it's important that you get your sales organization involved as well as operations in that evaluation process. But in terms of execution, yes, we did do quite a bit of trial and error to where we would run certain pilot programs for, let's call it, food manufacturing space, where we would run a campaign for a couple weeks, stop, evaluate, look at the return that we were getting. And at that point, it was just looking at engagement numbers. And then if it wasn't meeting that mark, we would shift based on what manufacturers were surging in certain areas.
You make a good point there. And it brings me back to an episode we had earlier in the series where we talked to a company called Demand Base, and they mentioned that, you know, you don't have to have all the data in the world to start an ABM program. Like you mentioned, like maybe starting with that engagement data, test and learn, you know, have some trial and error before you kind of put all your eggs in one basket. Would you say that's something you'd kind of agree with or relate to?
Yes, absolutely agree with that thought process. It absolutely is what made us successful.
I've sure learned a lot, but I thought it might be fun to do some rapid fire questions. Are you ready?
Yes, I'm ready.
So if you had to narrow this all down into top three pieces of advice that you would give marketing organizations that if they tuned out for this entire podcast, what would be three pieces that you would give them as far as advice for starting an ABM program?
Yes. Well, this one is simple. My answer would be consistency. Keeping a consistent, close eye on results weekly, and recognizing when you need to adjust the strategy and pivoting quickly when needed. I would definitely, that would be a main piece of my advice. And also I'd say the consistency of dashboards. You know, most business leaders don't find much value in engagement metrics, also known as, call it marketing fluff, right? In many circles. You know, we want to see pipeline. We want to see revenue. So having consistent dashboards highlighting these aspects of the business are important. You know, I learned that being an advocate of the program and being passionate about the results that I knew ABM could bring to the business really played a big role in getting early buy-in from the business. I would say last but not least, you know, celebrate when you have a win. We don't stop sometimes and just celebrate. And, you know, I think back to the moment I knew our ABM program was successful, oddly enough, was when our sales organization started kind of casually and openly using the term ABM.
And they're like, oh, okay, I get it.
Yes, exactly. Like it just clicks. But at that moment, I knew ABM had become a fabric of our business. And that's a time to celebrate. We all work so hard and so fast that we really need to recharge, set new goals, and continue to build.
Oh, I love the celebration. I think that's something that not a lot of people say, but I think is very important. That's not even with ABM, but any kind of big marketing initiative that you take time and effort and take your mental state, so much focus on it, you know, away from potentially, you know, your family and things. You spend so much time, it's worth celebrating.
Now that wraps up another episode of our How to Speak ABM series, where we're demystifying account-based marketing and helping you all understand how you could bring this strategy into your own marketing world.
Yeah, and tune in next time as we unpack more of the team dynamics and take a deeper look inside of Salesforce's account-based marketing team. We'll also be joined by Rob Arkaki from the Boston Consulting Group, BCG, who agrees with our first guest on the show. I don't know if you remember, Tina, but Mike Kostow in the first episode teased out how people are moving away from ABM and moving to ABE.
Ooh.
Are you wondering what ABE is?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. I know, me too. So I guess everyone will have to tune in to find out what that is.
And if you love what you are hearing so far, make sure you subscribe if you haven't yet already. That way you don't miss a beat or any episodes. And while you're there, please rate and review us because we would love to hear from you.
Yeah, it's really how we make this whole show possible is from hearing feedback from you guys. And, you know, my 2020 wish here, Tina, we are at a 4.8 star rating, which is awesome. I mean, pretty happy with it, but I think we can move that to a 5-star.
Let's go for a 5. Absolutely.
Let's go for a 5. Let's make it happen. Virtual high five to make it happen.
Woo-woo.
I felt that one. We know that your life is so, so busy, but if you do have 2 minutes to spare, we'd love for you to take our listener survey, sfdc.co/cloudcastsurvey. We'll get you that questionnaire. It's only 2 questions. 2 questions. We love hearing from you.
Can't wait to hear from you guys.
All right, guys, that's a wrap. We'll talk to you soon.
Bye.
Bye. Thanks again to Think Ahead Studios for editing this episode, Audible.com for the music, and Press and Kyle for the jingle.